Welcome to Modcast, a Civilization podcast focused on game modding. Rob, R8XFT.
Vice Virtuoso.
Narad.
VS.
Welcome to Modcast 70 with me, Rob, R8XFT. With me today is...
VS.
And...
Deliberator.
Sukrutat. He's brought out Ethiopia recently, which looks to me to be probably the best Civ that I've seen out there, top quality, what he's done.
Yeah, I'd definitely go along with that. I mean, I think what impresses me about him, you know, I can literally do all aspects. I think Sukrutat is that guy in Civ 6, which is awesome. I love watching his stuff develop. For this one, he's made Rock-Hewn Church from scratch. He's made his own unit from scratch. He's actually modelled the leader in 3D. In order to eventually turn it into a 2D representation. I do think he wants to, you know, obviously get that into being a fully animated 3D leader at some point. And I think if anyone's going to push through that and be the first to a 3D leader, it'll probably be him. Top, top class.
He seems when they come out, they're quite original as well in what they do. I mean, I've got to admit with mine that I've done so far, and they were really only for kind of showing other people how to do them initially. So, of course, it can program as well.
Yeah.
So there's all those things in there that he's got. And I thought it's a tremendous mod. Very much enjoyed playing it.
An example of something that's a lot more possible and straightforward in Civ 6 is make new unique natural wonders. So he's done Fuji and Tonlesap, the lake.
Yeah.
Both of which are, you know, look really great. And for me, it's one of the key areas. No, Civ 4, you really... did have that complete control. You could change, you know, the height maps, so you could be on mountains less tall or on the face of it without delving too deeply. It looks like a lot of that same stuff is possible with Civ 6. And I think, you know, I want to see more environmental modding, because I think that's one of the things when people talk about total conversions. I want to see Civ on Mars, or I want to see World or something. That's not just about units, it's about the terrain, you know, if it still looks like it doesn't have the same.
Yeah, you want to see your carnivorous sponge resource look something different than the vanilla citrus fruit tree, for example.
Yeah, exactly. True total conversions weren't really possible with Civ 5. I've yet to start pushing these things, you know, can you remove the ocean, for example? What can you do with modding the terrain? I mean, it looks... from what he's done with both Fuji and this Tonlesap Lake thing.
Unique new models coming in for resources as well, rather than, you know, reskins are great, and you can do quite a lot with reskins. There were some clever reskins in Civ 5 for making more resources, but once you can change the models as well, you know, it really starts to sell the environment. The map is important in Civ, it's a big part of the game. Probably move things more into, this is a true total conversion. It makes it feel more like a true total conversion.
Deliberator, who created more units and more units Poland, more units Aztecs, more units just about anything else. How did that all come about then, creating all these units for Civ 6?
Well, from Civ 4 actually through Civ 5 in the art side, particularly the 3D art side, kind of what's possible. That kind of started with the Dune Wars mod, where I did a lot of the art for that. I kind of really enjoyed, you know, turning the Earth into Arrakis, making sandworms and stuff like that. There's a lot you could really go to town on. And then through Civ 5, we got some units out quite early. Personally, had a break from modding for a few years, and probably about 2013, when Brave New World came out, I got really interested in basically making the process better. There were quite a lot of problems with the tools were basically very incomplete Civ 5, so wanted to basically make a reliable process, and so delve massively into basically the programming side of 3D. Had to go quite deep into that to make the tools to allow people to mod the 3D art in Civ 5, because sadly, Firaxis didn't really provide anything that worked very well.
Okay, so what's different in Civ 6 then?
I would say a lot is better. I mean, the first thing to say is the underlying engine is the Granny system, so anyone who has worked with Civ 5 3D stuff, pretty much all those skills are transferable, and the systems are so similar that you can pretty much use Civ 5, and the unit art is what I've tested so far in Civ 6 with very minor modification. The animations work, that's good.
obviously the big thing is that there's tools that actually work now and are really helpful. So you've got the asset editor, which is cool. I might come back to that. But the asset previewer, just the ability to be able to view things outside of the game using the same engine and tweak stuff. I can change the textures. You can even, with the asset previewer, try out the attachment system, which is one of the biggest differences between Civ 5 and Civ 6. So in Civ 5, the whole unit was one model. In Civ 6, your helmets, your swords, your bodies, the fleshy parts of the model, the bodies, the heads, everything, you know, all of those bits are separate models. There's a certain amount you can do creatively just by swapping those elements around. And you can preview that stuff in the asset previewer, which is great. I haven't really started to explore the potential of that, but just from a time-saving point of view, the ability to fry out your models and textures without booting the game or reloading your mod much quicker than it was before.
Yeah. I mean, I felt that in Civ 5, the only thing that really let it down was the lack of units compared to Civ 4 and Civ 3 that were created. And I was kind of hoping that in Civ 6, things go back to how they were again and more units get made. So far, they have been by yourself, but...
Yeah. It's interesting the way that they changed the system. More units started as an experiment to see what was possible, you know, just swapping helmets and trying to do. So a lot of those quote-unquote new units that are in more units are still just made by recombining and recolouring elements from the vanilla game.
I'm grateful I am to you for so doing. So certainly with my mod, it's based in a certain time frame. So at the moment, there aren't really many units out there that I can actually use. So that's been really useful to add some of the extra missing bits. I mean, will we be able to do our own animations then, do you think, with these units?
I mean, you know, animation is one of those things that is other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
The advantage you've got, like I say, is that we can reuse all the Civ 5 animations. So, for example, one of the things I want to get around to doing is porting the trebuchet, for example, which should work fine. So things like that that don't exist in Civ 6. Doing scratch animation, I guess, has always been a thought, really. Even in the Civ 4 days, there was a much smaller number of people who were doing scratch animation or editing animation. We've developed the ability to edit vanilla animations relatively late in Civ 5, within the last year or so, I think I managed it. So one of the fruits of that would be I did a unit, Bandeirante unit, that flapped in the breeze. So that's an example of like scratch animation. I think there's a YouTube video that I attached to the thing. That was me taking Pikeman animation, attaching a flag to it, then animating the flag. That's quite an involved thing. The majority of units, and I think the easiest route for custom leaders is always going to be, and always has been, get onto existing animations that are there. Start from there, but a lot that made it possible to edit vanilla animations in Civ 5 is also working for Civ 6 as well. So I am hoping, for example, you know, one of the things that doesn't exist in vanilla is having a unit that's riding a horse but attacks with, say, a sword. One of the huge advantages, which I haven't mentioned, of Civ 6 to neither Civ 4 or Civ 5 is they've actually used the same human skeleton for all the units. And that really is like a huge strength, because it means I can actually, using only like XML by reconfiguring the stuff in the asset files, I can do what we would have called in the past a re-rig, or by editing the asset in the asset editor. That's a huge step forward, I think. Where you've got one armor, because everything hangs off the armor, actually.
Yeah.
So then you attach a body to it, and the body obviously appears under the armor, but the driving thing will be the armor. And then you attach the head, the helmet, whatever weapons are going on it, create the armor. I can then use that armor with any human animation, any more 3D modeling work.
Sounds like a dream, doesn't it, Lee?
Yeah.
I would say this quote that they had of designed from ground up with deep mod support in mind. There's a lot more you can do.
Yes.
The fact that you can mod stuff and it's possible to mod it doesn't necessarily mean in all cases it's easy to do that. There's still a lot you kind of have to understand, but at least this stuff is impossible. There were certain things that were impossible or a lot of work in Civ 5 that are no longer the case.
So what else would help you if Firaxis were to create it?
I haven't come up against too many limitations as I haven't tried to do. From where I'm sitting, 3D leaders, there's no block or two other than the sort of complexity of 3D leaders. One of the issues is they're all very heavily characterized. So
yes.
Whereas in Civ 5, you can maybe say, right, there's more mileage and reskinning the vanilla leaders. Because that was hard to do, no one really ever got round to doing it very much. In Civ 6, I think you'd struggle because they're all so very, very stylized and heavily characterized. But from a technical point of view, it's possible. You could even, someone asked the question, you know, could you convert Civ 5 leaders to Civ 6? I think it's not impossible, but not sure.
Would you be able to, for example, glasses off Gandhi if you wanted to use him as like an ancient leader?
Not that I've actually tried this in game yet, but as I think Sukrotak showed, you know, you can actually view the 3D leaders in the asset preview as well, which is, again, like, the asset preview is just such a huge step forwards.
Yeah.
There was no way of testing a Civ 5 leader outside of the engine, and so the sort of tweak retest loop is painfully long, and that just kind of makes the modding process long. But something like taking the glasses off, you would have to basically use Blender or a 3D art tool to do that. You'd at least need to, as things stand, use Blender to cut the glasses off the model. But, you know, removing stuff is a lot easier than adding new stuff that looks good. So that would be quite a straightforward one.
If you knew how to use Blender properly.
Yeah. I mean, all this 3D art stuff, I kind of wish more people would have a go at it. I can see how it's very sort of intimidating and there's a lot to learn. But I personally find it really fun. When I started modding probably 8 years ago, it was just because I was actually playing the colonization remake. I kind of felt, right, this art is a bit bland, not very flavourful, and I actually started out by doing those units, and then I kind of taught myself a bit of Blender and time the tools to see what you could do with that, started importing stuff from the main Civ 4 game to add more diversity and to make it feel a bit more alive. So I'm basically self-taught, really. I would encourage more people to have a go, and myself and people like Wolfdog try to help people who come on the forums and try and have a go.
I want to learn it. I really do. Because, I mean, I think when I started out modding, which was probably about 15 years ago now, I always looked at people like, there's a guy called Embryo Dead on Civ 3. He was able to do every aspect of the modding. I thought, I wanted to be like that. And I managed to achieve that with Civ 3. To a bit with Civ 5, but probably not the units. Certainly with this one, Civ 6, I really want to be able to do some good units that I can then use. And I think once you can do that, you're not really reliant on other people to try and produce things. And with the best will in the world, other people don't necessarily have the same hopes and desires as you do for getting the units out there, if you see what I mean. Whereas, you know, if you can do it yourself, it's a lot better, I think.
The sort of levels that you can go through, especially now, you can start just recombining, using the attachment system, recombining assets that are already out there. I mean, one of the things that we should basically, as a modding community, make possible is the sharing of these things. You know, so when you create an armor, you share that with everyone else, and then they have that armor available to use with whatever animation they choose, effectively. I mean, this is where I would hope we get to. That entry level where you can just take, you put an armor, then maybe try a reskin. You know, if you can do that and retexture stuff,
it opens enough doors.
You've already a fair amount of flexibility. For example, if you're really into, I don't know, 19th century or 18th century uniforms, there's a lot you can do just by reskinning. This is the way it'll branch out.
Yeah. I did some 3D modelling for the Civ 3 units, which in size are fairly similar to the size of an individual unit in Civ 6, it seems, by looking at them. And there's a guy called Kimbo and Utah Jazz 7. And a couple of others as well, who created little elements of uniforms and shields and all sorts of things that would go with this paper doll model. A bit like what you were saying earlier, where all the models are the same size. Well, you know, there was this one paper doll model that was created that was used for different units. People would come and create a unit, and then they'd also share the assets they used to create that unit. And I wonder whether or not some of those assets might actually be suitable for Civ 6, whether or not those would import. I think they were created generally in 3DS Max.
You know, to be honest, there's no reason why not. Technically, it would be a Blender-level type job. You'd have to, well, assuming you're going to rig it to Civ 6 animations, you'd have to bring together the skeleton from Civ 6 with your model from Civ 3.
Yeah.
And or that you had this separate kind of poser thing, didn't it?
Yeah. If there's a helmet made, then that helmet would become a model that you could use and import into poser or whatever.
Totally possible.
I was having a look earlier, and there's something between in the region of 100 to 150 actual good quality items. You know, there's like shin guards for different uniforms, there's tops, there's trousers, there's hats, there's weapons, there's shields, there's all sorts of things, which if they can be incorporated in, you've kind of got an entry level as well to adding some of these items to make some good units a bit different.
As I say, the part that has to be done is you've got to take that model, which obviously knows nothing about Civ 6, and rig it to the Civ 6 animation. So you are going to have to, you know, I would use Blender to do that, but Blender has an import for certainly Max models. So you can bring them in and rig them, and then bring it together with the textures in the asset previewer, and you'd be able to see it in there. And as I say, you know, it'll be a one-time thing for someone to do that work. I mean, in terms of sources, there's some good sources out there for models. One of the things you want to try and do is you want a quality to fit with Civ 6. Obviously, graphics have moved on a little bit. I don't know how well the Civ 3 stuff would stand up. I know it's quite good because they were then turned into sprites, weren't they, basically?
Yeah, plenty of things to do. And we were saying earlier about the more units. Have you got any in the pipeline for what you're going to do next with that?
I kind of feel like, you know, the structure of it, which is where two unique units to every Civ, but sustainable. You know, people are bringing out new modded Civs now, and Firaxis have got some more in pipeline. I'm much more interested in carrying on with the art than going on maintaining it for the longer term. But what I'm keen to do is do Acidon, because a lot of people have asked for that. I've got clear ideas for that. One of the things is I have limited modding time, so I have to decide how to spend it. The other thing I'd like to do with more units, actually, if you're adding two UUs, you should do it everywhere. So, for example, America, England, Norway, you've got two already. So I only added one, and they're saying it's fairer if you add two to everyone, because otherwise the Civs that got two lose their advantage. So I would like to add a fourth UU to those Civs, to America, England, and Norway. I'm more or less settled on what I want to do with them as well. You know, one of the things we haven't really talked about is the art style of Civ 6. For the human units, you've got to kind of go with the exaggerated proportions. One of the first actual custom models I did, which was adapting an existing model, was to make the Long Swordsman.
You really are kind of challenged for adding a new line of units, because there's not a lot of room in the tech tree or the civics side of it either.
No, exactly. I'd be surprised if both of those trees don't get bigger.
Yeah. I think you've kind of inspired me, certainly, to go back and have a look at creating some units myself, some basic stuff, and have a look at what you've done and reread through the tutorials that you put on Civ Fanatics, and thank you very much for doing those. Seems like we're about 2 or 3 years further on than we would have been at the start of other Civ iterations. You know, it seemed to take 2 or 3 years for us to get to this level, and the game's only been out for about half a year, hasn't it? So
yeah, exactly, and I think encouraging. My hope is that more people are inspired to take it up and learn it and don't get kind of put off by the complexity of it. You make your models and then they all get bundled up into this BLP file, which is like a library package of all your assets, which contains all your animations, all your models, all your sounds, all your textures. And that process itself involves quite a lot of files that you have to understand the purpose of them, the way that assets are cooked into those BLPs.
Yeah.
It's another little bit of a learning curve for people. But I hope people plow through the learning curve and have a go and get to the other end of it. We start to see more people.
I think one of the reasons is continuity. This is the first time that a good proportion of the community from the previous iteration of Civ has moved on and done stuff for the next iteration. I mean, there've been one or two people out there, myself, you included, but a lot of people tend to stay within their own civilizations. It seems like a lot of people who did Civ 5, there's a lot of similarities in things like XML, etc., and the way things are done. I suppose it did attract that. And I think for the first time, I think Firaxis have managed to capture that. Anyone that played Civ 3 were very excited when they heard that Civ 4 was coming out, and then they just, some people were put off because it was different to mod. It was a completely different animal, and that put a lot of people off. And same with when Civ 4 went to Civ 5, again, people were put off because it was, again, a different animal. But now, I think with it being quite similar, that sort of captured the community a lot more.
You know, most people agree that the release of the game was a great start point. It can only get better, I think, from a graphics point of view.
Yeah.
Don't mind the art style, I think it's quite nice. as a game, I think it's the possibilities, certainly from an art point of view, are really quite interesting and exciting, and a lot more possible already than was ever possible so far.
And I think that's what people are realising, because there was the conversation that when this was coming out, right, well, we've got to start again with only 16 civilizations when we've got so many now for Civ 5, and do we really want to go through all that again? And I think once we've seen Civ 6 and what it's got, what's available to it, they're like, yeah, definitely want to go for it. It's like what you were saying before with all the units that could be done. That couldn't be done quite so easily for Civ 5. And it just seemed like, as soon as I started playing it, I realised that it had a lot more possibilities. From a modding point of view, Lee here is a lure expert and I'm not. So I would rely on Lee for a lot of things for Civ 5, which he kind of helped me with. But with Civ 6, with some of the modifiers that have got in there, that did a lot of that. That does a lot of that work. So it means that it's a lot easier. Therefore, makes it more accessible to modders like me. So you do want to come across, because you think, well, actually, yeah, it's kind of going to work. I'm kind of going to be able to do some of these things for myself.
Yeah. A general question about lure modding and Civ 6. This business of built from the ground up with deep mod support in mind. As someone who knows really nothing about lure modding, what sense do you get that that's true or not true?
I don't want to offend Firaxis, but the only way I can say is not so much right now. They really only built the Lua so far to handle what they needed, and they haven't fleshed it out anywhere near like it was in Civ 5. That having been said, there's still a lot of stuff you can do with the LUA system. Contrary to some people's complaints that, oh, I can't do anything with it. Well, it's really not true. It's just you have to figure out new ways to bend the game to your will.
Workarounds.
Yes. And hopefully Firaxis takes another look at that and adds back some of the stuff that was available in Civ 5. For example, in Civ 5, they added a series of game events that allow you to directly specify this city can build this building or not. And if I had that capability, I wouldn't need these dummy buildings to unlock the real building I want the player to be able to build. I could just directly say, no, you can't build that building yet. Or, yes, you can build that building because all the requirements are met. The LUA, or Lua, whichever way you want to say it, is much more fleshed out for user interface modding. But there are also some weird things that are missing from that side, too. What Firaxis did as part of making the game run faster, apparently, is that you have a UI context and you have a gameplay context in Lua. And the two don't actually talk to each other. And if,
but this has something to do with like multi-core.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. And the things that you are given in the UI side are not the same things you were given in the gameplay side. So in the gameplay side, I can't tell whether or not directly a plot has been pillaged by, say, the barbarian or anybody. Whereas in the UI side, I can. But then the problem is getting the two to talk to each other. There's lag. The gameplay side is directly connected to the actual gameplay core of what's actually going on in game. The UI apparently is not directly connected to that and can, in some instances, lag a turn or two in the information you can get from it.
Ouch.
So even though I can create crosstalk between the two, the information I get from the UI part of the game that I send over to the gameplay side in Lua may not actually be accurate at that time. So essentially, you really can't rely on that. Not if you're trying to create a gameplay effect. You really don't know when it's accurate and when it's not.
That doesn't sound very helpful.
Yeah, no. I don't even bother trying to do that. I just look for what can I do within gameplay to accomplish what I'm after. And if that means I have to do some weird workaround, then that's what I'll try to look at doing. Even though it would be much simpler if I could just directly go to, yes, the city can build this building. No, the city cannot build that building. Yes, the city can build this unit. No, the city cannot build that unit. Which is capability we directly had in Civ 5.
Yeah, maybe there's some way of doing it that we're not immediately aware of. I think that's one of the things with Civ 6, that it's been a few things that have managed to work out, but it's been a bit of a tough journey getting there sometimes because there's not really any documentation on it. Getting art into the game, for example, there's a couple of steps that you could never guess until somebody had said something to me. I didn't realise I need to do X, Y, Z. Maybe it's something similar with Lua.
Yeah, well, none of us have been able to find anything like what I would need to be able to get rid of the dummy buildings part of buildings are fun.
Can you hide the dummy buildings, or are they all...
Oh, yeah, I've already reworked the UI files. I can hide the dummy buildings completely. Unless somebody's playing with one of those, you know, better UI mods, and then who knows which version of file X is going to be used by the game. And that way, it's kind of like the way there were certain famous mods where everybody's mod was conflicting with it. And so if you were playing with JFD's mod X, you had to go to this other famous mod and disable the same file in that other mod. But my changes are fairly simple. I haven't gotten around to actually documenting them yet, so that hopefully some of the better UI mod makers will just throw them in. They don't hurt anything if there is no dummy building in the game.
One of the things I looked at before, as soon as we had the game files, was, you know, a bit about programming and a bit about art. You kind of look through the link libraries and you see what you can see. So I could see all these different processes for cooking assets. And I think that really whet my appetite for what was possible. And a lot of those asset cookers I haven't actually used. It looks like they're a lot more moddable than they were with Civ 5. So there's a lot of cool stuff out there when myself or someone else gets to it.
Yeah, I think that's the most terrifying thing coming into Civilization 6, although it looks like Firaxis has a better view of it, is that many, many of the things that we could do in Civ 5 just happened to be flukes caused by the things that Firaxis had done. Oh, they made a Dromedan. Now you can do a fire-breathing dragon. If they had decided to do a different Carthaginian unit, game over.
Yeah.
And so coming into Civ 6, I would definitely say that it's got a lot more of a robust and wide modding capability, except that they haven't gone and given us Dromans and any of those other units and abilities that paved the way for us to do all sorts of hijinks. So it's going to just be time for, as they release more DLCs and as the inevitable expansions come out, that the doors will open and then we will start incredible hijinks. And
Yeah. The modify system is cool. It's one of those things that, yeah, it's very powerful, but initially difficult to get your head around. And there's certain, you know, it all hinges on these effects, right? And some of the effects, well, there's no documentation of the effects. Reusing that are obviously already working is fine. Some of the ones that aren't being used by the game do work. Some of the effects that aren't used by the game apparently don't work.
With the modifiers, actually, one of the other things that's been interesting to do, but it's really difficult to test, seeing what effects actually work in different, not contexts in terms of Lua, but in different contexts in terms of the modifiers. If I put in these parameters, what happens? Now, obviously, as a programmer myself, generally speaking, a system only handles one set of parameters. It's defined in the function. If you give it garbage data, it might do something different, but it's not going to do something meaningful. Because there's the different layers of the modifier, seeing what happens if you swap up, say, the requirement sets or the modifier vec pointers in some of the more commonly used ones and see what happens. And sometimes it works. Usually you stare at a desktop and wonder which of the three things you changed was the right one because you're too dumb to do everything in single increments.
Yeah.
I've had a little bit of success with it.
The buildings are fun. This is work you've been doing on your mod, isn't it?
Yes. Basically, it's the only mod I've done, really, other than the one I wrote to help test things.
The only one so far, Lee.
Yes. Basically, it adds a whole bunch of buildings, but it also adds a whole series of systems that other mod makers can use. So it's a dual purpose here. After Civ 6 came out, there was nothing like what we had in Civ 5 where you could only build this building if your city had this local resource, for example. That was something I missed, and a lot of other people did too. Well, we tried the modifiers to do that, and it didn't work. No matter how you structured your dynamic modifier, the game would not crash. It just would not unlock the building for you. Basically, what I had to do is I had to reinvent the dummy building system from Civ 5, apply it to Civ 6, and then use LUA to determine when a dummy building gets placed into a city, and when that happens, you then use that dummy building as a prerequisite for the real building you want the player to be able to construct. Buildings Are Fun has buildings that are linked to each era. If you are in the ancient era, you could build a food building. It gives you more food in your city. Or you could build a science building that gives you more science at a cost to culture. So you have to do some trade-offs here. Likewise, there's a building that will add more production to your city, but it takes away food. The idea there being factories and tanneries and manufacturing facilities are all nasty, and so your city is less healthy, so your food value ought to go down in that city. As you progress through the eras, you can build a slightly better version of each one of these types of buildings that's appropriate for that new era you're in. If you already have the earlier version in a city, you upgrade to the newer version for that era. There's also a whole system. For example, I added some national wonders, and one national wonder is you can build an alpine training facility for your units, which gives units trained there the faster across hills ability. But in order to build this in a city, that city has to own 4 mountain tiles. The way I'm handling that is I do all that in LUA, but I structured it so that, say, if the Liberator wants to add a building that does something similar, all he has to do is add my files that I have from the Buildings Are Fun mod, and then add a new entry in the correct table to tell my code that I want you to allow this building when these conditions are met.
Sounds like you're doing a lot of legwork for modders there.
Yeah.
You created new tables to do that, or was it working off existing tables that were already there?
No, I created new tables because the problem is you have no control over what Firaxis is going to do later.
Sure.
And you also have no control over what someone else is going to do to the same table later.
Yeah.
So I went with entirely new tables of my own so that I didn't have to worry about that. The reason I structured everything as a utility that other people can use is I really, really hate redoing the same work over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
So, you know, pursuant to your point on artwork, you know, can we come up with some standard piece parts people can use? That was my concept for this system, is that people can use the components from within Buildings Are Fun for being able to allow much more specialized buildings, and they can pick and choose which one of those components they want to stick into their mods, and it won't affect the ability of anything else to happen. So if I only want the portion where I set nearby terrain or resource or feature prerequisites for a building, I can take that component out of Buildings Are Fun, stick it in my own mod, and then just specify what the conditions are in one of the new tables that component adds to the game. And I don't have to worry about the other components that Buildings Are Fun has that I don't want.
Support the ongoing Polycast Patreon campaign.
Collective achievements.
Personal incentives.
Month-to-month commitment.
For more information, visit thepolycast.net/Patreon.
Calling today, in North America the number is 301-637-7659. In Europe, 44121-288-7659.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
As a response, if nothing else, to all the commentary we see everywhere about this game sucks and Firaxis isn't supporting modders and blah, blah, blah. They've released the SDK. They've reworked things so that we can add art assets, whether they're 3D models or whether they're just DDS files.
You're right. There's been quite a lot that Firaxis have actually done for us. I think people just expect there to be a finished game, and it's not going to be like that.
They did. Through the patches that have come out, I think they fixed a lot of that. Obviously, there's still some way to go in terms of getting all the expensive mod support to where we would all like it to be. Yeah. But the sense is that they are listening and responding.
Yeah. I don't think anybody buys a game thinking, oh, I bet there's some great mods for it. I think they buy the game on the basis of the game. Mm. However,
true.
Where it comes in is, if, for example, and I know that people bought certain DLC because of Anno Domini, for example, people might say, well, DLC, I'm not going to get that. And then they think, oh, there's a few mods out that require that DLC. It might be worth getting it. Babylon DLC comes out. Some people will buy it, some people won't. And when they see that they can play Anno Domini as well, if they've got Babylon, some more people will play. Then when they can see that they can play something else, more and more people will buy it. So I think there is a little bit, but not quite as much as we'd think.
Civ 5 now, it wouldn't still have such an active following increases the longevity.
It does. Funny enough,
I don't know how you analyze that.
There's a couple of new modders for Civ 3, believe it or not, which is incredible, really. But again, they'd be inspired by other mods.
JFD has a Hitler mod for Civ 6. The Panzer is stronger when it's fighting in a district.
Yeah, I like that.
It really wants to do conquest.
First of all, it gives you a little bit of a defense bonus if you're Hitler. Not that you should be Hitler. But of course, then it also gives this crazy advantage when he is knocking on your door, crushing your economic district, driving your holy sites into dust, and of course your capital city or your city hub is a district.
So you want to keep him at arm's length if he gets to the point where he can build panzers, and you violate whatever his agenda is that makes him want to declare war on you.
Which is not being at war.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're playing as him, then you basically do what he did. I want a little bit of Austria, a little bit of Poland, a little bit of France, a little bit of Yugoslavia. But in that case, it's I want all your cities.
Right. I mean, I think it's a great mod. It's a great entry. I know it's not JFD's first entry into Civilization VI, but it's his second. But I feel like Hitler is a must in Civilization games, just as a random... You throw him into your list of random enemies, and then you just really hope that you don't run into him.
So you really, really do like to have a game full of shotguns, then.
This has been Modcast 70. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to myself, Rob, R8XFT. Along with me was...
Lee S.
Rather Forgiven.
Deliberator.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot, everyone. And until next time. Call you Deliberator on this, or...?
You may as well, since that's the name that most people will know me on, modding-wise, but, I mean, yeah. do we do the bit where we introduce ourselves?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So what sometimes happens is everybody waits for a moment, tries to be polite initially, and then comes in at the same time. So if we do it so that I introduce myself, and then say with me, and then Lee can introduce himself. Welcome to Modcast 70, with me, Rob, R8XFT, with me...
Lee S.
They are.
Oops. Sorry. Sorry, Rob.
We'll try again. So, we've just got Narai come in. Hello?
See, I should turn off push the talk while I'm recording. Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
Hello.
Hiya. We were just talking about Lee's buildings of fun.
Right. Unfortunately, I'm halfway through, so carry on and I'll jump in when I get context.
Okay.
Okay. So where were we at?
Yes, this does become a thing. You can do the effects. I mean, I'm thinking you're going to see a lot of custom effects coming out of the studios that are doing either the custom animation or the custom fictional civs, whether it's fantasy civs or if it's anime civs. At some point, there's going to be purple rainbow shots all over the map, and some of those will actually end up being useful for historical things as well.
Oh, sorry, I was talking about the effects in the modifying sense there, not the visual effects.
Yeah.
So I think we're getting crossed.
Yeah, Deliberator moved on to XML there.
Brain is still waking up. No coffee.
Is it Lua or LUA?
Well, I always call it LUA because Lua sounds like it's a dance I should be doing. But
although technically, Lua is the name of the language. It's not an acronym. It's actually the Spanish word for moon.
Oh, okay.
So you are supposed to dance to it, apparently.
Yeah, I refuse to, sorry. Yeah, Narai, it's been disconnecting for me off and on all day.
Yeah, it's been doing the same for me.
Okay, so this is just a slightly doomed podcast, but that's all right.
Yeah,
it's not doomed. We've done okay.
We will travail. We will overcome.
We will probably get a few moments like that, but Dan is a master of putting all these bits together. So it'll all, it'll all come right in the end.
Record date May 6th, 2017.
Civilization 4 and 5 sound clips, copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.